Tonight we're going to continue our study on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And last week we started a new section on health and the gift of healing. We dealt last week with the blessing of health. Tonight we're going to try to cover the reason for sickness. Because our view of healing will be greatly affected by our views on the purpose of illness, the purpose of sickness. Now, modern quote-unquote faith healers, I call them fake healers, they would have us believe that all sickness is a result of unbelief. And that none never need to be ill if you have enough faith. I say that's a damnable doctrine. The fact of the matter is, because of sin, all the way back in the Garden of Eden, is the reason why we have sickness, illness, disease. In a world where both good and evil often suffer, this view that the faith healers have, it contradicts experience and the Bible. Paul the Apostle, one of the greatest men of faith ever to walk planet Earth, a great missionary, preacher, writer of 13 books of the New Testament. He traveled with a physician because he had a lot of physical infirmities. And you can't ever convince me that he didn't have enough faith. So, in looking at God's Word, we find that there are that sickness and illness may have a variety of reasons why it comes upon us. Now, the first one's the hardest one. Illness may be a judgment from God. Think about the plagues upon Egypt. God was, in effect, judging their idols through a series of plagues. The smiting of the sorcerer with blindness by the Apostle Paul. It's interesting that in these cases, sickness was a sign, as was healing was in other cases. They were signs that God is real, and He does judge. I think there are times when God sends judgments in the form of pestilence, famine, and famine will bring sickness and pestilence. So, illness may be a punishment from God, but also illness may be permitted for God's glory. Turn over to John chapter 9. And this is hard for us sometimes to comprehend, but it's only because we can't see the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. We don't understand everything that God does. In this case, Jesus is explaining that the blindness of this man was for the glory of God. And as Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was blind from his birth. This was something that had affected him from birth. It wasn't his fault. It wasn't anything he had. There was nothing he could that he did to bring this upon him. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And there's so much wisdom in the answer of Christ. Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." So Jesus didn't blame it on his parents or on the man, but that it was done for the purpose of the glory of God. Now this man was going to be healed. Other people are born with Down syndrome, with spina bifida, with a variety of ailments. And it's according to God's purpose. I don't understand all of it, but I will tell you this. Usually, God places people in families that can deal with that in grace and in preservation or perseverance. And I've seen it so many times. And it even tempers and blesses and encourages even the family. So, illness may be permitted for God's glory. God permitted this individual to be born blind so that Christ might be glorified in his healing. No doubt God permits some illness so that saints may glorify God in the exercise of Christian patience during trials. And that's a whole lot easier to preach and to say than it is to practice. Now at this point, the apostles held the Jewish error here in John 9 that the illness was always a result of personal sin. And that's pretty much the theology of modern healers. They make the sick responsible if they don't find healing. They'll blame it on the people themselves. You don't have enough faith. You didn't give enough of a love offering. Maybe if you can just give a little more, have a little more faith, sow some more, reach in your jeans and pull out some more greens, maybe you'll be healed. And I think that's the most wicked way to treat people. Because I guarantee you, anybody that's got any kind of affliction that they can't help or they can't, there's no way that they can make themselves better, believe me, they have desires to have that healed. They've got a lot more faith than the faith healers. But God has a purpose in it. Illness may be given to keep Christians humble. One of the reasons why we have sickness. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. It's the example of the Apostle Paul himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. He said, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." He prayed about it. "And he," God, "said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And I don't know if there was a stronger faith and testimony, and a testimony of surrender, than the Apostle Paul. I marvel every time I read Philippians chapter 3, where he makes it clear that he's willing to surrender everything, that he might have be in fellowship with Christ's sufferings and death. I've got this sermon in my mind on preparation for death and for dying. And I don't have it all together yet. I'm researching, I'm praying, I'm meditating. And I read a treatise today by Cyprian, who was, he wrote this in 365 A.D. And at the time, there was a plague that was sweeping through Egypt and through North Africa. And he pastored in North Africa. And this was when Christianity had spread to Africa. And it just amazed me how submissive he was to the will of God in the midst of everything that was going around him. And his view was all of life ought to be a preparation for death. And that the best way to prepare for death is to live a life completely resigned, submitted cheerfully to God's providence, to His will. And it humbled me. It convicted me. So I'm going to preach that. When I get a hold of it, I'm going to preach it. But I don't have it yet. And it made me think of this about the Apostle Paul. He had to have a lot of grace. I mean, this is a man that spent... He got beaten. I mean, unmercifully. Where they take your robe off and they lash your back 39 times. He experienced that. He had been shipwrecked. He had been imprisoned. He had been in a filthy dungeon jail cell with rats and vermin and bugs. And it was damp. And he had the grace to be sustained. He had God's grace sustaining him through all of that. Illness may be given to chasten us. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, they weren't observing the Lord's Supper properly. And it says in verse 29, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." Here's an example of the church members at Corinth who were not observing the Lord's Supper properly. They did not view the glory of Christ in that ordinance. And God chastened them with sickness. Now here's another one. Illness is not always explained. We don't have a reason. We don't know why. Look over at 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 23. He told Timothy, "Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities." Here, he's a young preacher, but he had many infirmities. And there's no reason given why, but many times a child of God has to claim the promise of Romans 8:28. While he has no knowledge, for the reason of his illness. You have to just fall back on the promise. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and who are the called according to his purpose. And all that God would temper our hearts with that truth so that we'd be able to cheerfully submit to whatever providence brings into our lives. Illness is sometimes produced by circumstances. Philippians chapter 2. And verse 30. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Here is a man who became ill through placing the importance of God's work above that of his own health. I think that's what happened to C.H. Spurgeon. If you've ever read the life and labors of C.H. Spurgeon, I've probably read every biography and his autobiography. I'm a Spurgeon aficionado. You know, I have, some people love cigars. They call them aficionados. I love Spurgeon. I love reading his sermons. I love reading his life story. But he worked himself to death. I mean, he preached nearly every day of the week in some form or fashion. He reviewed the messages he preached every Sunday. They were all transcribed on Monday and put out in London in a penny pulpit. He labored he started an orphanage. He started a pastor's college. He preached all over London and all over England. And he got the gout. Oh, he'd get the gout really bad. And he died at a young age. I'll never forget Brother Cockrell. I held a meeting for him in 1980. I think it was about maybe 89 or 90, right after Berea Baptist Church in Mantachie had been organized. And he told me, he said, "You know, the Cockrell men don't live long in my family." And I think he gave me a statistic that no Cockrell man had ever lived past 65 years old. And he said, "So I know my time's coming. And I'm not going to live long." He said, "But I want to be used up." And he was one of the workingest preachers I ever met in my life. He preached, he wrote, he edited the paper. If you could have seen the garden that he put out. I mean, it was, he did the work of 10 men. But he literally worked till he didn't have nothing left to give. So illness sometimes is produced by circumstances. And then illness may be from Satan. Look over at Luke chapter 13. And verse 16. "And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound low these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for the glorious things that were done by him. So there are a variety of reasons for illness. And, you know, with everything that's going on around us, with this virus, we live in troublesome times. But we can't live in fear. We can't capitulate. Every day we simply have to trust God. And then if God so permits that germ comes to you, to your home, to your family, you need to pray for God's healing. Because I think you could probably take all the precautions and still not guarantee that you're not going to get sick. It's because by nature we've got in our bodies the potential of dying tonight. Do you realize that you could get a paper cut tonight? And if God did not permit your body and medicine to heal that, you could get a blood infection. And it could affect the rest of you. You could die from it, from a paper cut. Really, it comes down to, I'll tell you what, when I was sick with that stomach virus, back, I'll tell you the date it was. I know the dates of my stomach viruses. This one was August the 3rd, 2021. The last time I had it was February 29th, 2012. I remember that because it was leap day. Well, this last one I had, and I, you know what's so funny about it is, it really, it's not funny at all. But Joe Pemberton, just a week before this, told me that he had gone to Frisch's and got a Bad Boy platter. And I thought, well, yeah, everybody's going to get sick from something called a Bad Boy platter. I thought he was making a joke that he got a Big Boy platter and turned it into a Bad Boy platter. Then I ate at Frisch's and they actually have a Bad Boy platter. That's what it's named. And he ordered it. No wonder you got sick. But when I got that stomach sickness, there were times that, because every hour on the hour, it was like clockwork. I could tell you exactly when it was coming on me. And it went on for 10 hours nonstop. And I was thinking, oh Lord, just help me to get through this next hour. And then after I'd throw up, I'd beads of sweat just popping out all over me. And then I'd feel good for 5 minutes and I'd think, oh, thank you, Lord. I know this is all over. And then 50 minutes later, boom, man. But can you imagine? I read about this Cyprian. Today, he was explaining the plague, and they had constant. They called it a bodily flux. And basically, they lost all bodily fluids. It was nonstop, vomiting, diarrhea. Sometimes they would get infections in their appendages, and they would fall off during this plague. Sickness is part of the human condition. If you're saved by the grace of God, one day everything's going to be healed. And you ought to thank God for it. And here's something else. You ought to thank God every time you're healed of a cold, a sinus infection, a urinary tract infection. Listen, thank God. If it were not for His healing hand, you would die from everything you got. That's it for tonight. I went longer than I meant to.